listen to the music. There's music playing today all over the place. We, well, as always, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're actually not in South Carolina today. But I do have some familiar faces with me. I got Taylor's with me in this today. Taylor.
Hey, y'all.
We had a good time, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
And for those of you that listened last week, you know, I said I had something kind of cool coming up I was excited about. Well, this is it, because you are listening to, I don't know, what are we calling this, Taylor?
Woods and Water on the Road.
On the road with Woods and Water. We're actually not in Greenville today, folks. We are at Gunnersville, Alabama, sitting on the banks of Gunnersville Lake at the FLW Tour stop here. I took the plunge, bought all the stuff to have a mobile radio show, and it's working great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So welcome into those of you who are listening today. Going to have a special treat. We're going to, Taylor and I are going to talk a little bit because we've had a busy weekend so far. Going to have Joe Apogger from FLW join us a little bit later on. Going to have Matt Airy, Shelby North Carolina Pro, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And then we got Mr. Eric Jackson with Jackson Kayaks is going to join us for the last segment. So this is exciting. I'm having fun. It's been a busy weekend. We hit Atlanta yesterday.
Yep.
And what did we do in Atlanta yesterday?
We went to the Fly Fishing Expo.
Yeah, Fly Fishing Show, courtesy of Ben Fromensky. And you ready to buy a fly rod now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go to Alaska. Come on, Daddy.
August. Gosh, kids are pushy these days, aren't they? What was one thing you learned from the Fly Fishing Show? You met, you know, we saw Flip Pallet, saw Bob Clouser,
Lefty
got to watch
Cray.
Lefty Cray cast. The boy, you're talking just about a smooth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably the best lesson. If you're looking at fly fishing, it's probably the best thing you can learn is to be smooth.
Yeah,
right, Taylor?
I've never fly fished before. I'm just getting into it because we're going to Alaska. But I learned how to hold the fly rod, kind of the basics on how to cast it. So it was really, really fun.
And, you know, if we did a lot. We made some great contacts yesterday, especially with the Casting for Recovery people, mm-hmm. Casting Carolinas, which, you know, if you haven't done any research on fly fishing, the motion of fly fishing is both therapeutic, and for women who have had cancer and had surgery, it's a very good exercise for the muscles and to get back in the shape of things. So it's going to be something that's going to be, we're going to talk more about later on. There's some retreats that are coming up through those groups and, that women here will be able to take advantage of either in North Carolina, and they're starting to move. They're trying to get some events together in South Carolina. It's just a support group more than anything is what she said, but it's built around fly fishing.
Yeah.
So real quickly, let's, and we're here in Gunnersville. So what do you think about all this?
Oh, it is so cool. I've been to many of these before, but not out of state. So this is really, this is a new thing for me, but I'm having a good time.
Actually, in a different time zone. You know, we're it's only 2:08 here. So we get to do this again next hour, too. We're just going to do two shows hand running. But Gunnersville is beautiful. It was cold this morning. Man, it was cold.
Very cold.
Kind of glad we didn't go out on the boat after all.
Yeah.
She's standing there just vehemently saying, "I'm not cold, I'm not cold." She gets in the car and she goes, "I can't move, I'm frozen." But if you've listened for any length of time, you know Taylor, you know she's, you know, just wide open.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome, sweetheart. I love you.
Love you too.
Real quickly, let's get to a few things that are going on back home in the state. We have a Sporting Clays tournament that's going to take place. And, of course, this calendar of events is brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing and Event Center in Anderson, which, you know, if you've been down to Green Pine, you know that Heartbreak Hill. Well, it's a great place, and the people at Visit Anderson got a lot going on. We hosted the high school bass class there a few weeks ago, and always enjoy seeing everybody from Terry from the Civic Center and Matt and Sharon from the Green Pine Landing and Event Center, of course, my good friend Neil Paul, too. So appreciate them sponsoring this. But we've got a Sporting Clays tournament. It's Saturday, March 11th at the Clinton House Plantation. It's Clays for Christ, a youth outreach program. You have an after party at 6 o'clock with Low Country Boil and a speaker. You know, there is some, of course, in these Clays tournaments, you're going to have to pay a little money to get in. But it's good. It's for good purpose. They're going to have 1 p.m. is registration, 1 to 1:45. is safety briefing. 2 to 5 is a shoot. 5 to 6 is bragging and silent auction. 6 p.m. is dinner and entertainment. For more information, get a hold of Mike Johnson at the Clinton House, or just call the Clinton House, 864-923-0750. Equestrian stuff, you know, we don't do a whole lot with it, but I was running through some of the things going on. And the Silver Bluff Spring Trail Ride. I got a friend, Hal Anderson, who goes to Cross State Park a lot and rides his horses. He goes down and rides the Myrtle Beach Cancer Ride every year. And, it, you know, he showed me some pictures, and I was, you know, there's some stuff out here. So for you horse people, of course, you got H. Cooper Black, which is a great place to go, and more places up in the mountains, too. But Silver Bluff Spring Trail Ride, Saturday, March 11th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Jackson, South Carolina. It is ride the groomed trails when they are filled with green of spring. Starts at 9 o'clock, lunch provided at noon. It's an 8-mile loop. You can ride at your own pace. And, hey, if you're down there and drag your horse that far, you might as well ride some more. So there's some second loop rides after lunch. $35 per rider. All proceeds benefit Silver Bluff Audubon. And you can get more information by going to sc.audubon.org. Look at the events and click on the Silver Bluff Springs Trail Ride. Another big thing coming to South Carolina, and it's every year, and we're going to have more about this coming on because Dan Dupree is going to come on and talk to us more, is the 33rd Annual Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. State Fairgrounds, Columbia, South Carolina, March the 24th through the 26th. And as you would have it, one of FLW's shining stars for 51 years now, Jimmy Houston, is going to be there. Jimmy is the keynote this year. Jimmy's right over here at the Quaker State. He just walked over the Quaker State tent. So, yes, he looks, the picture on the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic web, yeah, it looks just like Jimmy Houston. So, and what was really fun, well, we'll save that for Joe. We'll talk about what we did to Jimmy last year at the Cup over in Huntsville. But Jimmy's going to be there, and you know, I've often wanted to ask Jimmy, I wonder how many kids, including myself, have watched him for so many years, how much impact he's had on fishermen and fishing. It's absolutely incredible for somebody to be into fishing for 50 years, and that's how long he's been in it. But anyway, Jimmy's going to be there. You know, you're going to have the bass tub is going to be there. It's a 5,500-gallon aquarium where they throw a lot of lures and don't catch a lot of fish because those fish are educated, but you know, every once in a while they'll catch one. You know, they've got a new building out there this year, which is going to house, it's right there on the right as you walk through the gate, so the new building will be in full swing. But, yeah, Jimmy Houston's going to be there. And let's see, I know the Extreme Raptors show, they're out of New York. Eagles, Hawks, Falcons, Owls are clear for takeoff. Keith Johnson's bass tub. Joey Mines is going to be there. He's 31st year of outdoors with Joey Mines TV. And, of course, there'll be more duck calls and turkey calls and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, being blown that you'll you might want to wear a pair of foam earplugs. It's just if that stuff gets on your mind. But anyway, it's coming up soon. And then don't forget, in 2 weeks, you've got the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I have one more set of tickets to give away. So if you're on Facebook, I'm going to give away another set of three-day passes. I gave one away yesterday. Probably do one of those Mondays. So if you're on Facebook, you might want to check it Monday and see if there's another set of tickets up there. But that's going to be a good one. Always a fun time in Charleston, South Carolina. So, again, this is the first edition of On the Road with Woods and Water, South Carolina. I guess unless Joe's got a better – Joe might have a better one for when we come back. But anyway, we're almost down to that break, but we're live from Lake Gunnersville, Alabama. First stop on the 2017 FLW Cup Tour, and it's great. Sunny. And what can I say, Taylor?
I don't know. Other than
good to be on the road, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Joe Opaga with FLW when we come back. More of Woods and Water, South Carolina from Gunnersville, Alabama. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are, again, we're live at Lake Gunnersville, Alabama. It's kind of surreal being here. Normally I come to these things and I have to tape a show. Now I get to come to these things and be live. Almost 3 years ago, probably 2.5 years ago, this show, which is coming up on a 3-year anniversary here in a couple of months, had a big event at Lake Murray in Columbia, the FLW Cup. And I remember I was, 3 weeks out from it and had just got my press credentials and was wondering where I could go wave them around. And the cup was coming. I made a phone call and talked to a guy on the phone who over the past couple of years has become a really good friend. One of these days, I'm actually going to go to Minnesota and go ice fishing, which is what Joe says is if you're going to fish in Minnesota, you better learn how to fish when it's frozen. Yeah. But I want to welcome you, Joe. I appreciate everything you've done for Woods and Water South Carolina. Thanks for having me down here. But Joe Opager, who is the media director of public relations for FLW, thanks for being here, bud.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. We're happy to have you and Taylor in town. A little far from home for you guys. A little chillier than what you're probably normally used to. But, yeah, we're out here kicking off the 22nd season of the Walmart FLW Tour this year on Lake Gunnersville. Real excited to kick the season off, and so far, the lake's pumping out some big fish.
Yeah, it has. Brandon Cobb, which is made today
big
even better.
Yesterday.
Better, 17 pounds yesterday. Yes. Anchored by one big, pretty big fish.
Yeah, he kind of struggled that first day. I don't recall exactly what his weight was.
11 pounds or something?
Yeah. He was kind of middle of the pack, but big day yesterday, anchored by a big largemouth, and put him up in that top 20 cut. And, it's pretty standard for Brandon Cobb over the last two seasons. That kid's been on fire.
Unreal. He was telling me when we were down there at the dock last night, and we were about two-thirds of the way through the weigh-in, and I said, Brandon, you're 16th. He goes, I'm not going to make it. He said, my dad's got some kind of algorithm he runs or whatever every time I go. And he said, and he just told me I was going to finish 21st.
Well, I think dad needs to check his algorithm and do some tweaking Brandon went fishing today, and from what I've heard, he's doing okay.
According to FLW on the water, he had 5 for 14 pounds,
a limit. I know only about half the guys out there had a limit today. So if Brandon has a strong one, that could put him up in that top 10 cut and get him fishing on Championship Sunday.
Which means I got to decide whether to stay over here tonight.
You want to stay here to see the champion crowned.
The problem is I've got another daughter that came home from college yesterday who's expecting me to be home tomorrow.
Sure.
I took a lot of grief for taking this one down here. Look at this one over here. She's like, I don't want to go home.
We're going to Lake Travis in Texas in 2 weeks. Just bring the whole family.
Just bring the whole family.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, bring everybody.
Sure, just bring everybody. FLW does a lot that you may or may not know of. For instance, here.
Well, I know.
Well, you know, because you coordinate all this stuff, and I'm talking to my listeners. Okay, I'm going to have to identify Joe. I'm talking to you now.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes on, and I know a little bit about this because I fished the Hartwell event last year. Thank you for that. That was a blast, man. Kind of whetted my appetite to fish more of them.
Good.
But, I know about Cody Kelly's fishing tournament they have every Saturday of the tour events, but there's some other stuff that FLW does when they come to town.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever we do come to town, when we bring the whole circus, we try to line up events that, we can bring out to the community and bring the anglers out into the community and kind of spread the love of outdoors and fishing. So, when we come to town, we usually try to find a local elementary school that our anglers can go visit and, talk to and give programs to. And they teach, science, technology, math, how all of this kind of applies to fishing and being on the water and different aspects of the sport. So it's just encouraging kids to, get outdoors and go fish. And then also we usually try to find a local a hospital to go visit. They'll usually go to the long-term care wing and kind of visit patients that, maybe a little down or need a little cheering up. And so we'll send guys out like, Jimmy and local guy here, Jay Kendrick. They go out and kind of take pictures and tell some fishing stories and just kind of spread some good cheer. So, there's a lot more that goes on in addition to just the tournaments when we come to town. Absolutely.
I was impressed with the fishing tournament that I was at.
Yeah.
The little pond there at the park.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson.
That's the kids fishing derby today. We had over 50 kids were here at Gunnersville. And like you said, it was cold this morning.
Yeah.
But, we had a great turnout. They caught some fish. And spreading the love of the sport is really what it's all about.
That's right. And if I can only imagine from these guys' standpoint, they're out here. It's cold, having trouble catching a limit. And I imagine all of that just kind of poof by the wayside when they get in there and the kids are smiling, having a good time. That's got to be so rewarding on their end of things.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, these guys don't necessarily want to wake up early. They've just missed the top 20 cut, and this is they're going to be their first chance in a week to sleep in. But, you know, they still get up every week and come on out and do it for the kids. And, yeah, it absolutely is very rewarding, you know, when you see that young kid, you know, catch his first fish, or somebody that may not be real familiar, like learn how to cast or something. It's really cool to be a part of, and something that at FLW we value, and we truly try to do every town we come to.
That's great. That's part of that community outreach you just don't read about in the headlines or see when you come to the weigh-in like today. But it happens every time. And
sure. Everybody sees the big fish.
That's right.
And, you know, Mark Rose possibly tomorrow holding up the big check. Maybe Brandon Cobb.
But maybe.
Yeah, nobody sees the stuff that really goes on behind the scenes. And those are the anglers that, you know, really deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, y'all've got a great team.
Thank you.
You know, you're...
I assembled it myself.
You assembled it yourself. I'm sure you did. You know, Bill Taylor, he's the Energizer Bunny.
He is, yes. Head tournament director Bill Taylor is the hardest working man in the business. I have no doubt about that.
Unreal. I mean, one time he told me he had like 3,000 or 4,000 contacts in his phone.
Yep.
And can find one when he needs it.
Yep.
I've got
phone
like 400.
Rings easily 60 to 80 times a day, every single day.
Yep.
And probably more during a tournament like this.
Yeah. And we had Scott Ellison hanging out over here at the tent earlier.
Yeah.
He works hard.
Absolutely.
Working hard because y'all are coming back to Lake Murray in August, the Cup. We still have not had a two-time winner.
Yes.
We are going to be
Could
on Anthony Gagliardi's home lake where he won in 2014. Is it too much of a stretch to think there's a possibility for that to happen?
Well, I mean, like you said, the staff behind the teams is top-notch. We've got around 40 to 50 employees that travel to each event. This is the opening event of the season. We're going to have seven regular season events, and everything's culminating in August with the Forestwood Cup at Lake Murray. Like you said, we were there 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now.
Yep, 3 years ago now.
Anthony, of course, won in storybook ending, one of the most dramatic finishes we've ever seen on the FLW Tour. So to go back there to a lake that we've had the history as we have at Lake Murray, and then, like you said, with no two-time champ ever being crowned yet, could this be the year? You know, Anthony's certainly one of the strong favorites going in, but he's going to have to make
it.
He's not guaranteed to
That's
even
right.
be in the tournament yet. So he's going to be working hard all season to try to qualify. But, you know, there's a lot of other former winners here on tour still. You know, you got David Dudley, Scott Martin, Daryl Robertson, you know, a lot of great anglers. You know, Brad Knight just won it 2 years ago. John Cox won it last year. It's certainly not going to be a cakewalk for Anthony. That being said, if I was a betting man, I would think he will be there in August.
And yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But you got some stops in between. I mean, we were over there talking to Bill Taylor earlier. You know, you got you're going to Travis, Texas, 70 degrees.
Yes.
Go figure that one. Then you're making a swing through Florida.
Yep.
Harris Chain.
Yep.
And then Beaver Lake, I think.
After Harris Chain, I think we're going to – gosh, you put me on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
We're going to a bunch of new lakes this year. That's
right.
The good news.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, I know Lake Cumberland's mixed in there.
Yep.
The Harris Chain, of course, we haven't been doing quite a
Wisconsin.
Few years.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're going up to La Crosse near my home.
Yep.
I'm going to be able to drive to that event. My family's going to finally be able to come and see what I do, so I'm excited for that one. And then, of course, out to Potomac and all the history that we have there.
Right.
And culminating at Lake Murray, the jewel of South Carolina.
All right. Well, you've got to, you know, we've covered the FLW, and like I said, I love being around you guys. Y'all have been so good to me over the years. You've got to tell me ice fishing.
Sure.
Because in South Carolina, you say ice fishing, okay, what do you get, a bucket of ice, and, you know,
It's funny you ask. I've been texting my partner, you know, while you were doing the segment earlier with Taylor, saying he's moving our house right now to a new spot.
Okay.
So he's got the trucks out there, and they're towing it to a new spot. Hopefully it's going to be a little more lucky. I was out there last week for 24 hours and only had 2 bites. So it was a long day, and we're hoping that this new spot gets a little more lucky. But, yeah, up in Minnesota, we've got a solid 18. 14 inches of ice on Mille Lacs Lake.
Okay.
You know, it's famed smallmouth bass fishery, but it's also a world-class walleye lake as well. And, you know, when you're ice fishing, that's mainly what you're targeting, okay, is walleye and panfish. And it's on fire right now. We've had real cold weather. I mean, not literally on fire, because it's really cold.
Yeah, it's very cold.
But the fishing is on fire. Yeah, we've got 18 inches of ice. We're driving trucks out there. I mean, there's a couple cracks, but you just build a bridge over it, and it seals up. So that's fine. And, yeah, you're looking at me like I'm crazy right now, but it's like going to the cabin almost.
Okay.
But there's holes in the floor that you get to fish in.
And you have cable TV.
Not quite cable. We do have Netflix.
Netflix.
You know? Yeah, yeah. We've got a MiFi hotspot that we hook up, and we can watch movies, and we've got a TV. We've got a little toaster oven to cook a pizza out there. And
okay.
Yeah, it's like going to the cabin.
It's like going to the cabin, except you're out on a lake.
Yeah, and you're catching fish.
And you're catching fish.
Yeah.
2 bites in 24 hours.
Well, we didn't say a lot of fish yet. Yeah. We're hopefully at this new spot. I'm going to go back to it next week. And when I fly home from here on Monday,
okay,
you know, I'm going to have next weekend a long weekend off because I've been on the road for a few weeks. So I'm going to go out to the ice house, and I'm going to crush them.
All right. You're telling me you moved from one spot to the other.
Yes.
What made you move to the other spot?
Just, you know, kind of some recent reports. You know, there's thousands of houses out there, so
okay,
word kind of gets around. Fish are biting a little deeper now. It's honestly, it's all about the depths. That's the big
thing. Is
it? Yeah, we're a little shallow. We were fishing around 22 feet. Right now they're sitting about, you know, 30 to 32, so that's, we got to get the house a little deeper.
Is this the equivalent of ganging up on the lake spot where you've got ledge fishing going on?
Kind of. I mean, there's certainly guys getting a little disgruntled, you know, when you pull up and you set up your little, because I've got a portable ice shack,
okay,
too. So
okay,
when you pull up, you know, you'll see guys peeking out the window, giving you the stink eye, thinking you're a little too close. But it's nothing like it is out here on the bridges on Gunnersville, though.
Oh, man. You know, fishing is fishing no matter what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Whether you're in South Carolina, it's 80 degrees, Minnesota fishing on 18 inches of ice, it's all good.
It's all fun.
Joe, thanks for being on the show with me.
Roger, thank you so much for coming out.
Love it, man. Look forward to August. Hey, y'all hang on the other side of the break. We got a Mad Airy from Shelby, North Carolina. And I don't know what we're going to talk about. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate
you
it
bet.
Always.
You bet.
And welcome back to Woods. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Are we there yet? Can't hear myself. Okay, I guess we're back. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are on the road, Lake Gunnersville, Alabama. What has been started out as kind of a nice day tournament. And then it got cold. Matt Airy is sitting across the table from me, shaking his head on the cold side. He's no stranger to the show. Matt, welcome back on Woods and Water.
Thanks for having me, Roger.
Gunnersville, let's talk about it for a minute.
Yeah, it's just like you said. You know, when the FLW Tour comes to town, we actually usually have some really nice warm days,
yes,
through practice. Sun pops out, starts getting nice, and then first day of the tournament, here comes a cold front. So no surprise there. But today it's you know, it's pretty brutal. This morning, I think it was like 26 when I woke up. So it's kind of bittersweet not being able to fish today, but we'll take the points and the finish and
sure,
and worry about Travis next. But yeah, it's been brutal out there this week. The fishing's been really tough. You know, just to get 5 keeper bites a day has been a grind.
There's that word. But I'm telling you, folks, I have a new respect for the word grind. I practiced with Matt last year when FLW came to Hartwell, and I thought we were going to have a nice 6 or 7 hour easy day, and it was like 13 and a half hours, bud. You could have warned me.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, you've had some good experiences with me, Roger.
I have.
You got to ride in during the cup when
Washington,
you were marshaling with me,
yep,
with a, if I remember correctly, you had a giant hole in your rain suit and it poured down rain all the way in. So I think we made it in safe and sound, and Roger looked at me. He said, it's good to know I'm still alive now.
Sure.
So
you got to do some things like this every once in a while to prove you still got red blood running through you.
That's right.
No, and the funny thing about it is you apologized to me. We were up at the state park fishing those school and fish, And you said, okay, Roger, I got to know. I got 10 minutes to fish, and we got to leave. And about 8 minutes into that 10 minutes, the lake just kind of disappeared. And you looked at me and said, I'm sorry, man, this is going to get bad.
Yeah. It was fixing to get rough, and I knew it just from – and it kind of caught me off guard.
Oh,
you know, it
wow.
It was beautiful that day, and then all of a sudden here it came, and what about – we got about a mile on plane, and it hit, and it was hit. All of a sudden 3-footers pouring down rain.
Yeah.
And I looked over at Roger, and he had a hole the size of a bowling ball in his rain suit. And, yeah, I felt bad for you, man, but, hey, we made it in.
Oh, it was
That's
a blast.
The main thing, so.
It was a ball. I mean – you know, if it had just been a gentle ride in, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it right now.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right. That's right.
What's Gunnersville like fishing? I mean, you hear, I've been here duck hunting. I never fished here, but I've been here duck hunting. You see the big mats of grass hanging out there, but you got bridge fishing too, and I have no clue what bridge fishing is.
Yeah, well, you know, they talk about the bridges and the causeways, and just recently in the last few years have they really started gaining a lot of attention since Randy Howell won the Classic down here and caught the big giant bag the last day. But, I mean, they were a big player in the Classic anyway, and they're obviously a big player this week. You know, I ran some bridges in practice and didn't do, I mean, it didn't matter where you fish this week. It was a grind period.
Okay.
But
right.
The grass is come back strong. The eelgrass, which is a new ingredient in the lake now that didn't have, you know, several years back.
Okay.
So that's popped up. It's pretty much all over the lake too. You could find it and it's good, green, high, healthy, and the fish are really taking to it well. You know, eelgrass is a little different than the milfoil and the high.
Yeah.
It doesn't provide the canopy,
okay,
so to speak, and it, you know, it just stands up. It's a tall straight stem.
Okay.
Basically just it, but the fish love it. Why, you know, I can't really explain that. I'm not a biologist,
right?
But, you know, I go where they prefer to be, and the eelgrass seemed to be where they wanted to be this week.
Is that why so many people are throwing rattle traps?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, traps are a big deal here in the pre-spawn anyway, and all the way through the winter. Anytime you get those water temps down in the upper 40s, the low 50s, January, February, the trap always plays a big deal here. Any lipless vibrating crankbaits for that matter. But that was my go-to this week. You know, I threw a little Lunker Hunt fillet, which is a lipless crankbait that we make, and threw several different colors, you know, the typical reds and just shad patterns, things like that, and mix it up according to the conditions, whether it was sunny or cloudy or whatever. And you know, a lot of guys called him cranking. I think Rose, who's unofficially leading the tournament right now, he's cranking some riprap and mixing in some grass beds along with that. So I think that's probably the ultimate game plan for a guy who wants to grab the W this week, is being able to mix it up, have some options. You know, the wind will blow here, and it can muddy some areas up on you, so you got to have some backup plans too.
Okay. How many miles did you run the first 2 days?
I didn't go any further than the B.B. Comer Bridge, which is maybe 20 miles from here, something like that. It's not bad.
Okay. All right. And then it got cold. Yeah, it's I'm glad I didn't take that meteor ride this morning.
I don't blame you one bit.
I forgot my motorcycle helmet. You know?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Fishing, you know, it's what you do. But you and I have kind of, like I said, with being around you and riding with you a bunch, we get to talking about the things we love to do when we're just on our own time. And you were telling me, and I often ask guys what they go in the off season. For Matt Airy, it's a couple of months away from fishing.
It is. You know, a lot of these guys, they're, which is probably one of my major faults or something I probably shouldn't do.
You have faults, Matt.
I'll get rid of my boat usually mid to late October, and of course, as all deer hunters know, the rut begins
That's
in November
right.
around our house,
and
I pick up a bow and go to the woods, and it's just a time to kick back, relax, kind of think about the way the season went, mentally get prepared for next year. I'm just, a lot of guys will keep fishing through the November December months, but I get rid of my boat on purpose, and hopefully I can go about 40-50 days without a boat just to kind of, you know, reset, so to speak, and get ready for the new season. And I love it. I mean, just sitting in a tree stand watching the sun come up, enjoying God's creation, there's nothing better to me. And I know you're the same way.
It's amazing. The older I get, and I don't know whether it's because I don't want to drag one out or what, but you're right. Watching the sun come up, I love to take my camera with me. And there's always something moving or that. And a lot of people don't understand that stuff, but I think as close to God as you can get on the earth sometimes, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I do some of my best praying when I'm in a tree stand. So, that's something I always hold close to my heart. And,
yep.
you know, other than hunting, just enjoying family time in the off season,
yep.
you know, my wife and little girl Reese and,
yep.
Got another little girl coming in May too. So
yeah.
we're excited about that. And hopefully it's between tournaments and not in the middle of a tournament, but, Lord willing, everything will work out. So.
Reese shot up a little bit this winter, didn't she?
She really has, yeah. And they're headed to the circus right now. They're sending me pictures. You know, the circus is going out of business here pretty soon.
Yeah, so, Ringling Brothers.
Glad she gets to enjoy that.
Yeah, and you know one of the reasons they talked about the circus going out of business is because people's attention span.
Really,
you know, the elephants were the big thing. You know, they got rid of the elephants because of PETA and all that. And but one of the reasons they listed in the news release was that people's attention spans just weren't long enough to hold. And get them, keep them involved. And
wow.
I think, you know, when you and I look around at like the high school kids over here helping the little small kids on the flipping and pitching thing, you know, their attention span's a whole lot better than those kids that don't get out here and do something like
Absolutely
this.
Absolutely. The outdoors will make you really appreciate, you know, just all it has to offer. It'll make you a more patient individual.
Yep.
And like I said, it's just, you know, getting kids involved, that's the biggest part of our sport.
Yep.
You know, if you get a chance to take a kid fishing or hunting, you need to do it.
How was hunting season for you?
It was decent. You know, we were killed a few deer, but didn't kill any big deer this year, but we put some meat in the freezer.
Yeah.
So that's always my goal.
That's, you know, when your wife comes in and goes, and you've been hunting for about 2 months with the bow, and she goes, you really need to shoot something so we can have some meat to eat next year.
The pressure's on.
The
man.
Pressure's on.
Yeah.
Luckily, this year I turned it over to Taylor. You know, she got her first one.
Yeah.
And so now I don't really have that pressure anymore because I can just hand the gun to Taylor and say, just, you know, shoot one or two.
That's awesome. Yeah, I look forward to that with Reese, too.
Yeah. It is so much fun, Matt. You just it's unbelievable the feelings you'll experience when that happens. And I didn't know it was coming. But that was an incredible experience.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can live it vicariously through you for now. So.
Well, it's fine. But you said, hey, you had some big bucks up around you this year.
We did. I had some pictures of some true giants for our area.
For our area,
I mean,
yeah.
Western North Carolina, and of course down where you live,
yeah.
You know, a big deer there is, you know, you get up in the 120s, 130s, and that's a giant for around us.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have a 4.5, 5.5-year old deer that doesn't even make Pope and Young sometimes.
Right.
So, I did have one in particular. I actually nicknamed him kind of bad, but we nicknamed him Hitler because he was so hard to kill.
Yeah.
and he's still walking as far as we know. So,
okay.
Maybe we'll get another shot at him next year and I'll be after him hard and heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting out. I forget what I was doing and the phone vibrates and there's this picture of this big old deer and Matt goes, meet Hitler. Like, okay.
I caught a little bit of heck for that, but, I mean, just the name fit.
Sure.
You know? I mean, you know,
he's a hard
son of a gun to kill.
Yeah.
So.
What's this year look like? We got about a minute left. What's your year look like? What do you think?
You know, I have started off the last few years really with a bomb, basically, and clawed my way back into the cup the last few seasons. And this year I'm just refreshed to not start off with a bomb. You know, start off with a 29th place finish is I'd be lying if I said I wasn't really pleased with that. Looking forward to the next few legs, Travis. And then we've got Harris Chain, which I haven't been to. We got Mississippi River this year, which
yep.
I've never been to. So
okay.
I always look forward to going to new fisheries.
Mississippi River now. Where is that? Wisconsin?
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yep, that's right.
And that's going to be. I talked just for a second to Anthony the other night, and he said it was a lot of islands and backwaters.
It is.
And
it's very diverse, but it's got a lot of options. It offers up a lot of opportunities to kind of pick your poison and fish
okay.
your strengths. Because there's plenty of smallmouth and largemouth there. You got backwaters. You got plenty of vegetation, lily pads, grass mats. You've got the river with current. You've got hard cover like rocks, bridges, things like that. So there's a lot of options there. I think the field will be able to spread out, which I always like that too.
Cool. Hey, look for Matt out on the tour. He's got a brand new wrap on his boat with a 55-pound largemouth on it. Buddy, thanks for coming on and being here with me on the show. Look forward to catching up with you more.
Sounds great. Thanks for having
Appreciate
me,
Roger. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. Hang on through the break. Come back with more Woods and Water South Carolina from Gunnersville, Alabama.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are live from Gunnersville Lake in Alabama, and it's really neat to be here. Yeah, crowds are starting to gather up for the weigh-in. The weigh-in starts in about an hour, and they're already here. Got kids flipping in the kids' pond, got all sorts of stuff. And one of the neat things about being out is I don't have to line up guests. You know, Joe does that for me when I come here and all, and I got a really cool one. It's Eric Jackson from Jackson Kayaks. Eric, thanks for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, thanks a lot, Roger. Fired up to be here. As you said, I can't believe it. It's February. Yeah, chilly morning, but like I said, people are gathering. The sun is out. The wind isn't blowing, so we're in the right place at the right time right now.
2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 7 o'clock this morning. It was not the right time to be here.
No, it was chilly then. I feel bad for those guys that made the top 20 in some ways.
Yeah, yep.
But right now, they're having a great time out there.
Well, Eric, you are Jackson Kayaks.
Yes, sir.
And kayak fishing has taken off.
It has. A lot of people people have been fishing out of kayaks since, the Eskimos.
Sure, yeah. Birch bark canoes almost.
Yep.
Eskimo and kayaks.
Yeah, canoes and kayaks, they've been around a long time. But, you know, what's the real deal is that really enthusiastic fishermen, professional fishermen, for example, the kayaks were never quite right for them. And the reason is because they just weren't designed right. The people were sitting at the water level, for example.
Okay.
So the seats were down in the water. They were kayaks made by kayakers, and then they would try to put some rod holders on or whatever and call it a fishing kayak. So they never really took off. But about 5-6 years ago now, Jackson Kayak launched the first kayak that was designed by fishermen. We made a fishing platform, and of course the first thing was like, well, we need to sit up high where
sure.
we can see into the
sure.
water, where you can cast, you're comfortable all day, and stand up on the boat as well. Those are two things that we brought to the kayak fishing world that really, I would say the first true kayak fishing boats were 2011.
Okay.
So they really didn't exist before that. That's where the explosion came from. There weren't any kayak fishing boats that you could stand in or sit up high and actually fish all day out of.
So sitting up high would be one thing. What's another thing that makes a fishing kayak?
Being able to stand up in it.
Stability.
So most the kayaks back then were like barely 30 inches. A lot of them were like 28 inches wide, maybe 30 inches. If you come over to the Jackson Kayak booth over here, you'll see our big rig, 37 inches wide. You know, Charlie Ingram, pushing.
Big Charlie Ingram,
pushing 300 pounds, six, whatever he is. Older, not nimble like he used to be. He fishes out of the big rig, for example. So those things combined, really, not just Jackson Kayak, but the other brands started following suit and making kayaks that you could stand in, that had well-appointed cockpits. Everything's right at your fingertips, tackle right under your seat, place for the rods, electronics, power poles. So put all that together, people really latched onto it. And they're really enthusiastic fishermen. And right here we've got Bill McDonald, you got Scott Canterbury, you've got Barry Wilson, you've got Wesley Strader, you've got a lot of the top pros that are fishing this tournament here.
Right.
They're fishing out of kayaks now, too.
Just on their own spare time.
On their own spare time. It's because they know that kayaks will get you to places that you can't get with a bass boat. So
you have that right.
So that's kind of the lure. You know, they're simplified. You know, you don't need a lot of tackle. It's simplified fishing, and you can go where there's no pressure.
How did you get started in kayaks?
That's a good question. I've been when I was little, my father was an engineer at Piper Aircraft, and a lot of the test pilots.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was his job, but a lot of the test pilots were into whitewater canoeing. And I was 6 years old. He took me out canoeing with the rest of the guys on the Pine Creek in Pennsylvania, and we became whitewater canoers back then. That was our new thing. Eventually, we wrapped the canoe around a rock, and I went to a store to buy a new canoe, and there was kayaks hanging up there. This was in, like, 1979, and I convinced my dad to buy kayaks. And then from there, I started kayaking almost full time. Had a job as a whitewater photographer, taking pictures of rafting, and then I dropped out of engineering school, which my dad wasn't super impressed with.
Okay.
Being an engineer, so I could kayak full time, and then made the U.S. kayak team and just started competing full time as a kayaker, and have been a professional kayaker on the U.S. team for the last 25 years. So that was really been my passion and my sport. But I'm 52 years old, almost 53. And my son is, I've since won 4 world championships and gone to the Olympics. And, but 3 world championships ago, my son-in-law beat me. I was 2nd. And then my son won the last 2. And I can't, I don't see a future of me winning anymore. So my second childhood passion, of course, yes, was bass fishing. And, I always wanted to be a professional bass fisherman, so that's going to be my next 25-year career.
Cool. And you're a rookie on the FLW Tour this year.
This is my second year.
Second year, okay.
And I did co-angler 2 years ago.
All right.
Just to make sure that I like the scene, that
sure.
I like the, I thought this is something I really wanted to commit to, and I was super impressed. So last year was my rookie year, finished 100 and something in the angle of the year race, you know, bottom third.
But you finished.
I finished.
That's
I
right. Made, you didn't
I
quit.
Made it, I made it to the finish line. So this year, you know, this is my second year, and I'm fired up for that. I finished 99th in this tournament, so not a great finish. I zeroed out yesterday, but super fired up to be doing the tour.
Boy, the transition from small water kayak fishing to Lake Gunnersville has got to be... That learning curve is huge.
It is a big learning curve. I'd never fished a lake like any of the FLW Tour lakes until, you know, until I got my first bass boat last year. My first power boat I've ever had was my 2016 Ranger with Evinrude 250 G2,
gosh,
74 miles an hour top speed with just me in it. So going from only a kayak to that was a culture shock in so many ways. I can't tell you. The first thing being like, what do you do on a lake? Like, of course, the first thing I'm going to do is go as far as I can.
Get away from everybody else, right?
Yeah, just like, woo. So you'll find me, I immediately run as far up the river as I can and get to where the boat barely floats, and I feel right at home like I'm in my kayak again. So that's how I fish.
Oh, wow. Piper Aircraft, this is interesting because my dad had a J3 Cub.
Oh, there you go.
And
That's a classic.
That
is the classic Piper Aircraft.
That's right.
So my dad... if you know airplanes at all, he put the T-tail on the Cherokees, and
okay,
also on the, he designed the Cheyenne.
Wow.
That one. And he also was the first person to do RC model testing. You know, the original Cheyenne would flat spin into the ground.
Okay.
The original one that they first designed, and instead of killing test pilots,
sure,
doing RC testing, and that was the first time that anybody had ever done that. I was 10 years old at the time, and we took 2 transmitters to fly it, and he let me be the other transmitter. So that was my original competitive sport was RC planes.
Cool.
Anyway, so yeah, Piper's pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about whitewater kayaking and being on the Olympic team. We got about 4 minutes. Just tell us about what. Representing America has got to be huge to begin with.
It's super fun. You know, obviously it's very competitive, you know,
sure,
making the U.S. team. It took me 5 years of full-time training where I thought I'd make it the first year to make it, which is probably what's happening on the FLW Tour, too. you making the U.S. team, there's 5 people on the team. You go to the World Championships, trying to, obviously, as individuals try to win, but as a team try to win. It's... it's something you're very exciting, you're real proud to do, but it's,
how do you win a kayak event?
There's different types of events. Freestyle kayaking and extreme racing are 2 of my specialties that I really enjoy.
Okay.
Freestyle, you basically go to a standing wave or a hole that it's called, a recirculating hole, and you do as many tricks as you can in 45 minutes or 45 seconds. I could show you pictures, hard to describe on the radio, but imagine,
sure,
freestyle skiing and aerial, you know, aerial tricks in a kayak, you know, just,
okay,
Google it online, Eric Jackson freestyle
kayaking.
You
got a YouTube channel out
there.
Oh,
I got a YouTube channel, yeah. And this Eric Jackson kayak is a good way to Google,
okay,
go there, and you can see cool stuff. Whitewater kayaking is pretty epic. It's still, I probably do about 100 days a year on the water right now in my quote unquote competitive retirement.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not actually, yeah. Anyway, it's pretty cool. You'd like it.
Do you ever have one of those moments in those years you say, I might have gotten myself into a jam here?
You mean like near-death experiences?
Something like that.
And let's just set the record straight.
Go ahead.
Whitewater kayaking statistically is ranked right in between hiking and biking in danger, statistically. Now, that's just as a user group. Now, okay. If you throw in what I'm doing, if you Google my son Dane, last week he ran Rainbow Falls in Hawaii. It's a 120-foot waterfall. We're doing some stuff that doesn't follow those statistics.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been in one too many jams, yeah. But I'll try to avoid them as much as I can.
Wow. What lake? Okay, you got six stops left. Is there any one of those six you're looking forward to being at?
Yeah, I love Florida lakes, man.
You love Florida lakes.
Why? Because they're like a big pond, and I understand that. So Harris Chain, here I come. I'm so fired up for Harris Chain, I cannot tell you. I look forward to all of them.
Sure.
But that's my comfort zone right there. Like that one is like, yeah, it's game on. Like I'm there to win that one.
Very nice. Well, how do people find Jackson Kayaks on the internet?
It's easy. Google Jackson Kayak. Just Google best kayaks out there, and your Jackson Kayak will pop up. That's all you got to do.
You make ranges of links of kayaks?
Yeah, every type of kayak. We're the only company out there that's launched kids kayaks. We have a kids fishing kayak called the Skipper. Nobody else makes a kayak for kids for fishing.
Okay.
Kids whitewater kayaks, we're the first ones to do that. All the way up to the big guys like Charlie Ingram. So we've the big rig, it's the biggest, widest, most stable fishing kayak out there. The Skipper little one, we have all in between. We have them for out open water, red fishing, blah blah blah. River fishing, cool. You know, whitewater, sit inside, duck hunting. I mean, you name it. We have about 60 different kayak models. So if we don't have one you want, let us know. We'll probably make it for you.
Very cool. Well, Eric, appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Roger.
Look forward to seeing in more stops along the way.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Cool.
Thank you.
Hey, people. I've loved being here from Gunnersville, Alabama. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. And don't forget that camera. I'll see you back here next Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yes, I'm gone.